हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। हरे कृष्ण। सो आई एम डूइंग दिस सीरीज ऑफ वर्सेस फ्रॉम टीचिंग्स ऑफ क्वीन कुंती। सो वी विल रिसाइट वन वर्स एंड देन वी विल हैव अ डिस्कशन। प्लीज यू ऑल रिपीट आफ्टर मी। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो दीज टू प्रेयर्स आर ऑफर्ड वाइल बिगिनिंग टू स्पीक भागवतम। द मीनिंग ऑफ दिस प्रेयर्स इज लाइक दिस। वेदव्यास हू रोट द श्रीमद् भागवतम इज ऑफरिंग ओबेसेंसेस टू नरनारायण ऋषि हू आर द प्रेसिडिंग डेटीज एट बद्रिकाश्रम, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is praying that may this Bhagavatam conquer all the vices of this world, and may Goddess Saraswati be on his lips and express herself by glorifying the Supreme Lord. So every speaker of Bhagavatam recites this so that the speech, the Bhagavatam becomes beneficial for everyone. So jayam udireya. Jayam means victory. May there be victory to the divine sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta prayesha bhadreshu means may all that is troublesome to our heart be destroyed. It is said. Artha means something purposeful. Anartha means something useless. Like a diamond is purposeful. Broken pieces of glass, useless. In the same manner, there are many things in our heart, like for example, the anxieties that are lingering in our heart, the worries and tensions which are arising from some attachments to some things of this world. So they stay inside our mind like a virus and they keep on troubling us. So he is saying, Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Let all those viruses and all kinds of anarthas, let them be destroyed. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Nityam bhagavati sevaya. How? By hearing the Bhagavatam every day. You see, in India they have this Bhagavat Saptah, which happens only once in a year for 7 days. So Prabhupada says, where is it said in Bhagavatam that you should hold Bhagavatam only for 7 days? Bhagavatam should be studied every day. Nityam means every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. The Uttama Shloka means those prayers coming from the lips of devotees like Dhruva Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj or Brahma, such great devotees, which are inspired divinely by the Lord in their heart. Lord actually brings his verses out of their mouths by empowering them. That is called Uttama Shloka. Uttama Bhagavati Uttama Shloki Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. And such sound vibration will establish bhakti in our hearts for Lord Krishna. Bhakti, devotional service in our hearts. So, we are going to recite a verse from the prayers of Kunti. Please all of you repeat this verse. Maya javani kachannam ajnadokshajam avyayam nalakshase mudhadrisha nato natyadharo yatha. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. It appears like a very complex sentence, but the meaning is very simple. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception means, you know, we cannot see God with our eyes. We cannot hear the sound of His flute with our ears. You know, we can't touch Him. He is not very easily accessible. That's what He is saying. And you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy, which means you are covered by, you know, Maya Shakti, because of which we are not able to see you. He's saying, you are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Like sometimes a drama is going on the stage, and everyone is guessing, hey, who is that Vasishtha? You know, having a long white beard. Which devotee is acting in the role of Vasishtha, isn't it? Which devotee is acting as Dasharatha, you know? Who is that Vishwamitra who is coming to Dasharatha and speaking to Dasharatha? As soon as Vishwamitra opens his mouth, you can recognize the tone. Now that devotee is acting. But sometimes when you see on the stage, how many of you had difficulty in recognizing somebody on the stage? Correct? Yeah. Similarly, he's saying when the Lord appears in this world, sometimes people have difficulty recognizing Him. How He is God. We will see why it is so. So we will read a part of the purport and we will discuss. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna affirms that less intelligent persons mistake Him to be an ordinary man like us and they deride Him. The same is confirmed by Kunti here. The less intelligent persons are those who rebel against the authority of the Lord. Such persons are known as asuras. Asuras cannot recognize the Lord's authority. When the Lord Himself appears amongst us as Ram, Narasimha, Varaha, or in His original form as Krishna, He performs many wonderful acts which are humanly impossible. As we shall find in the 10th canto of this great literature, Lord Sri Krishna exhibited His humanly impossible activities, even from the days of His lying on the lap of His mother. Anybody knows what did Krishna perform by lying on the lap of His mother as a small baby? What humanly impossible acts He did? He killed Putana. Exactly, you told the correct answer. See, He killed the Putana witch. Although she smeared her breast with poison just to kill the Lord, the Lord sucked her breast like a natural baby and He sucked out her very life also. Similarly, He says, He lifted the Govardhan hill just as a boy picks up a frog's umbrella. Frog's umbrella. You know what is frog's umbrella? Mushroom, yeah. So one Hari Bol for him, for his two correct answers. Hari. Mushroom is called frog's umbrella. And keeping the Govardhan hill in His hand, Krishna stood several days continuously just to give protection to the residents of Vrindavan. These are some of the superhuman activities of the Lord described in the authoritative Vedic literatures like Puranas, Itihasas, Upanishads, etc. And also Lord Krishna has delivered wonderful instructions in the shape of which book? Bhagavad Gita. He has shown marvelous capacities as a hero, as a householder, as a teacher, and as a renouncer. He is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such authoritative personalities like Vyas, Devala, Asita, Narada, Madhva, Shankara, Ramanuja, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and all other authorities of the line. Who is another authority? Prabhupada. Yeah. He himself has declared as much in many places of the authentic literatures. And yet there is a class of men with demoniac mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the supreme absolute truth. This is partially due to their poor fund of knowledge and partially due to their stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds in the past and present. Such persons could not recognize Lord Sri Krishna even when he was present before them. Another difficulty is that those who depend more on their imperfect senses cannot realize him as a supreme Lord. Such persons are like the modern scientist. They want to know everything by their experimental knowledge only. But it is not possible to know the supreme person by imperfect material experimental knowledge. He is described herein as adokshaja, or beyond the range of experimental knowledge. All our senses are imperfect. We claim to observe everything and anything, but we must admit that we can observe things under certain material conditions only, which are also beyond our control. The Lord is beyond the observation of sense perception. Queen Kunti accepts this deficiency of the conditioned soul. Either he goes on. And then he's saying, especially of the woman class who are less intelligent. For the less intelligent, there must be such things as temples, mosques, churches, so that they may begin to recognize the authority of the Lord and hear about him from authorities in such holy places. For the less intelligent, this beginning of spiritual life is essential, and only foolish men decry the establishment of such places of worship, which are required to raise the standard of the spiritual attributes of the mass of people. For less intelligent persons, bowing down before the authority of the Lord as generally done in temples, mosques or churches is as beneficial as it is for the advanced devotees to meditate upon him by active service. So, Queen Kunti, just before Lord Krishna coronated Yudhishthira Maharaj as the king of the whole world, after which when Lord Krishna was about to leave for Dwaraka, Kunti Maharani is coming and standing in front of the chariot and praying to Krishna, offering these wonderful prayers. And these are very famous. All over, you will find anybody speaking on Bhagavatam will glorify this Kunti's prayers. So, this is the second prayer, what we are reciting today, second verse, where she is telling, as Prabhupada explains here, Krishna, you are not observable by the fools, those who have a poor fund of knowledge. So Prabhupada says there that those who have imperfect senses cannot see Krishna as God. Just like a king gave a challenge to people, can anyone show me the sun at night? I will give you, millions of gold coins. So, and he was telling, by some means you have to bring the sun up in the sky. If you do that, I'll give him a whole kingdom. Actually, he wanted to prove that I am supreme. He wanted to prove his supremacy. But his ministers were telling him that, we are not supreme. And we can't do anything whatever we want. But the king said, I can accomplish anything I want with my wealth and power. So then one of the ministers asked him, can you bring the sun up in the sky now, in the night? So he asked so many people, nobody could bring it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tells the story. Why? He says, the sun will only rise in the early morning, and then when the sun rises, all the darkness will be dissipated. So in darkness, you cannot see the sun. In the same manner, in ignorance, nobody can understand Krishna to be supreme. Like, many modern day educated people, they appear like very intelligent people. They are holding degrees, big degrees from schools and colleges. But actually, they sometimes very proudly declare that we don't believe in God. There was an atheist who called for a big assembly of hundreds and thousands of people. And he said, If there is really a God, let him come in front of me within the next 3 minutes. And if God doesn't come here next 3 minutes, it is proved hereby by this theorem that there is no God in control. And lot of fools assembled there. Many people hearing his saying. And the next 3 minutes nothing happened. And then he said, just see, you know, if there was any God, he would have come. He would have stopped me. Or he would have put a thunderbolt or something and killed me. For me to speak with such audacity. Because God didn't take any action, there is no God in control. Like that he was telling. So Prabhupada explains this story. He says that, imagine, for example, in Aravada jail, somebody is put in because he robbed a bank or something. 5 years or 10 years imprisonment is given. Sometimes the thieves are put in very strict confinement. There is A-class jail, B-class jail, C-class jail. C-class jail, it is like a dungeon, like a go-down, dirty and ugly and dark. They give them low-quality food. Imagine if somebody is living with another 10 thieves and is telling, if there is a Prime Minister of India, really, let him come here and prove himself in front of me. So if there is a Prime Minister of India, do you think Prime Minister of India immediately has to take a helicopter and come there to Aravada jail, enter the C-class jail and go in front of him and salam? And say, sir, I am present, please kindly agree that I exist. You think he has to do it? Because he is talking like this, is it not important for the PM to prove it? What do you think? Do you think PM, somebody will phone up, oh, Prime Minister of India, he is saying that you don't exist. Please, wherever you are in Delhi or Parliament, whatever meeting is going, please kindly leave the meeting and come here to prove to one of the thieves, you know, who is a murderer or a thief who is living in Aravada jail in one corner. You know? So, even actually Prime Minister of India is not even a mosquito in front of God. He is extremely tiny in front of the God. God is called as Ananta Koti Brahmanda Nayak. So, a PM of India or President of US, you know, they are insignificant in front of God. But even they will not come. Even they will not come to prove to somebody inside a jail like that. Similarly, this universe in which you are living in, it is like a small mustard seed. In a sack of millions of mustard seeds. So, it's called as Ananta Koti Brahmanda Nayak. So, God doesn't have to come running, you know, to prove to the person that who is telling about me like this, no, that the world believes that I exist. Actually, God, how he appears in this world, Krishna himself says, Kalosmeham, I appear as time. I appear as inexhaustible time, he says. I exist in such a way that nobody can stop the flow of time in this world. Like, you know, there was one man in America who in his old age, you know, he was a Texas oil millionaire. In Texas oil, he was a multi-millionaire or billionaire. So he wanted to stop his old age. Because he became worried that if I become old and die, I will die like everyone else. So I wouldn't want to get old. But he couldn't stop his old age. Because the time changes, it is said the time changes clean faces into wrinkled faces. Time changes black, jet black hair into white hair. And white hair is a notice for death, it is said. And time changes young, healthy people like all of us into old people. And time sends old people to graveyard, subsequently. And nobody can escape it. No beautiful cinema, Bollywood actor or actress can bribe time with their beauty. Isn't it? Can any poet sing some poetry about time and stop time? Nobody can do that. Can any millionaire bribe death and avoid death? Any of you see in this world that somebody is surviving for millions of years, he has been giving some bribe to death and avoiding death? You can never find that. So God appears in this world as time. He says, Kalosmiham Lokachayakrit Pravriddho. He says, I appear in this world as time. And it's called as sure as death. He says, everyone is irreversibly flowing towards death in this world. From childhood to boyhood to youth to old age, death. Same thing has been happening to millions and millions of people in this world. There are many atheists like that. Sometimes an atheist performs a very, very sinful activity, then God appears in some form to strike him down. Like you find Hiranyakashipu's atrocity was so much that God just didn't tolerate it. He just broke open the pillar and came out of the pillar. Now, who is the parents of Lord Narasimhadev? Anybody knows the name of Narasimhadev's parents? Any of you? He has any parents or no parents? He is the only person who has no parents because he is God. God doesn't need any parents. He is the parent of all parents. Bap on a bap. His father of. That's why we say, you know, people say, you know, Masoba, Khandoba, you know, Vithoba, you know. They say, no? Vithoba is actually father of all fathers. So, Lord actually appears from the pillar to stop Hiranyakashipu from killing Prahlad. Lord has done that several times in case somebody is trying to hurt or harm his very great devotees, Lord has prevented. Today, if you go to Tirupati, in Tirupati there is a right close to the temple, I saw the board there. It was written there, Hathi Ram Maharaj or something like that, you know. So I was wondering, who is the Hathi Ram? Then I met the authorities in the TTD and I went and asked them, sir, I am seeing that I am standing in the queue and the golden gopuram is seen there and that whole area is empty there, like a ground, you know. And around the TTD area, nobody is allowed to, you know, purchase any property up in the Seven Hills. Nobody can buy, you know. I said, so much thick forests are there, nobody is allowed to purchase any property. Even if you pay crores of rupees, you cannot buy there. How is it that this Hathi Ram Baba is put there? How he got this place? He told me it's a great revelation that happened just about 150-200 years ago in Tirupati, he said. Then he said, at one time, your great Vaishnava Sadhu came to Tirupati and he was a Tirthyatrik. He was going to different places and completely unknown to the public. You know, he's a single man. He has no followers, not hundreds of thousands of disciples or anything. Single. Wearing very simple dress, constantly singing and chanting the holy names. So he was passing through Tirupati. So when he came to Tirupati, the Lord came in his dream and said, I want you to stay in Tirupati for some months. Please stay. So he stayed there. And Lord Balaji, every night used to come out and come to the same place where the sadhu was sitting. And he used to come and play this game with him. What do you call this dice game, you call it? You know that? The four things are there like this, no? Vedic times they play. Yeah, you all know that. Yeah, Jap. Jonsavara. So he used to play that with him. And this fellow used to sing so much poetry in glorification of him. In the night, Lord used to exchange love with his devotee. And then he would again go back. In the early morning hours, he would go back to the same place where Balaji is standing. So one day, the pujari, when he entered the Balaji's sanctum sanctorum, he found Balaji's bracelet was missing. The amulet was missing. He didn't find it. So then he thought somebody has stolen. How is it possible? Because we are putting so many locks, 20, 30 locks we are putting. How is it missing? Then they started doing search everywhere. And then the sadhu was chanting the holy names and by the sadhu's side, just behind him, this was found. This bracelet was found there. People found. Immediately the police came and police arrested him and he was taken to the king. And the king was planning to give him a very severe punishment, beat him up and everything. So they had put him inside a jail. And some people told the king that this is a very great sadhu. He should not be punished. We really doubt whether he would have stolen. Because, you know, he is practically like a fakir. You know, he doesn't carry anything with him. He is just walking from place to place. You know, his possessions are practically nothing. But the king insisted that because he has stolen, he should be punished and all that. And then the king said, if he proves himself as a great sadhu, then I will not punish him. Then you know what he did? He brought two truckloads of sugar cane in the jail. Jail was this big, like this hall. So sadhu was in one corner chanting. He put the two truckloads of sugarcane and he locked the jail. And he said, if he can eat up this whole thing overnight, tomorrow morning we will release him from the jail. He said. And of course there was a strict jailkeepers who had put the lock and they are waiting outside. In the dead of the night at 12 o'clock suddenly a divine elephant appeared there inside the jail and ate up the whole thing. He didn't leave one sugarcane also. He only left the top leaf portion. That's all. And they saw it with their own eyes. They saw the elephant eating. And they reported immediately, the call went to the king and the king came. Nobody has seen the elephant eating so fast. And so much quantity. The elephant ate. Of course, the elephant was having all tilak in his body. Sri Vaishnava tilak. All over his body. He finished the whole thing in front of king's eyes. And king fell at the feet of this person. And then he released him immediately. See, I was telling you a very recent story. So he is called as the Hathiram Baba, that place. So that place was immediately donated by the king to the sadhu. He said, you stay in this place and you can do bhajan. And I truly agree that Lord Balaji considers you his great lover. So you can stay here and you can serve him and let Lord come to you every night. And let him come and play. So the Lord came in the dream of the king and said, you foolish king, you are arresting my devotee. He is my very dear devotee. I come to play with him every night. So Lord personally told him, I forgetfully kept my bracelet there and you are arresting that sadhu and all that. So you'll find Lord sometimes performs pastimes even in the recent times. So see, certain things happen in this world. Sometimes it's difficult to give reason why something happens, what happens, difficult to give reason. Like you see, when in South India the Shankaracharya was arrested, you all know that, no? At one time, for somebody else did something and he was arrested for that. Immediately the next month the tsunami came. So many people saw a correlation. They said, whenever great atrocity happens, then the reaction also is sometimes very disastrous also. Some 3.8 lakh people died in that, under the tsunami, this thing. Similarly, there was an, I don't want to mention the name, there was a chief minister of one of the states in India who became a converted Christian. The Christian suggested him that, why there are 7 hills for Balaji? And all the 7 hills are empty. Only one hill Balaji is standing. The other hills, let us open hospitals, let us open schools, let us open churches. Give one hill to one religion, let them open mosques and churches and everything. So this man said, yes, it's a very good idea. He actually went to Tirupati and saw the places and everything, and he was seriously considering to distribute all the different hills to different religions. In fact, he was the same minister who had put a big picture of Jesus on the midway when you are going to Tirupati, on the climbing the hill. That time you will see big picture of Jesus on the hill he had put up. Many people protested. After 1 week it was removed after that, So he was considering doing this kind of thing. So many of the Sri Vaishnavas, because they are all simple people, what can they do? But they all formed a group and they protested. They said, this Balaji's 7 hills are considered Anantashesh, on which Lord Vishnu is residing. And this is a very holy spot, which is existing for millions of years. They should never be touched by anybody. All that they said. So, but this person wouldn't hear. In fact, his son had demolished a temple. He had decimated a temple completely in one another place, in the same state. So, and this man suddenly at one point of time, he is a very busy man. He's a social reformer, going from place to place, flying in a helicopter. So he flew in a helicopter. People told him, today is a rainy day, don't go in a helicopter. It's so cloudy in the sky, but he didn't hear. He went in a helicopter and he crashed against a mountain and he died. So, of course, many people said, God has taken him away because he would have done some great atrocity to Balaji Hills. How far is it true? It's likely, it may be the reason, it may not be the reason, but why I told you, somebody is trying to do big atrocities, then God may not, come in his Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, I have come now Vishnu, all of you can see me, and then he will send a chakra to kill him. But God may take some severe action. Even today, you can see. You can see that. So we could give many instances, examples like that. Somebody is very, very atrocious, then severe action will be taken by God. It's only a matter of time. So sometimes, as Prabhupada says here, we have imperfect senses. The four defects you all know, which you studied in your earlier course. So with four defects, we cannot even see the material objects without the aid of other material things. For example, without the sun, I cannot see my hand. Without the help of sun. So when sun rises in the morning, then I can see my hand. In the darkness of the night, I can't even see my hands also, although it is my own hand only. Is it not true? So if I can't even see my hand with my eyes, and hand is a material thing, you know, to see my hand or to see this, or see this table, I can't see the difference between who is existing in the darkness. And how can we expect to see God with this eyes made of, you know, blood and water and some flesh? How can I expect to see the Supreme God? It is, Prabhupada says, with mundane eyes you can see mundane things. That too with great difficulty. And only with spiritual eyes you can see spiritual things. And we need spiritual eyes for that. And what is the spiritual eye? Like we are saying in the song, Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatume. In the song, the devotee is singing, "Oh, my dear Lord, please give me the right kind of eyes to see you." When our eyes are imbued with love for God, then God reveals Himself to us. You cannot capture Him, but He will reveal Himself to you. For example, one of you in your college, say you get a first rank in your class, you become noticeable. You get first rank in your college, then probably your, you know, principal will want to know, who is this boy who stood first? Like in 10th standard, 12th standard, somebody becomes state first. If you are state first, then probably, you know, your local MLA, MP may want to know, who is the boy who got state first? Let me give some prize or something. Or somebody is doing social service. They do so much service, that they become recognizable by the Prime Minister of India. Correct? Sometimes PM of India wants to give some Padma Bhushan award to somebody. Sometimes if PM wants, he may even fly to your house and come and meet you also, because you have done so much service. Like Gandhi did so much social service, he's called the father of the nation. Correct? So, to be recognized by big people, you have to do big work. It's not that, you know, like even if one of us goes to Delhi, Parliament, and we want to get entry there to see PM face to face, you know, first thing they will ask you, why do you want to meet? What is the reason? No, I want to prove to all the Indian praja, you know, people that I have seen the Prime Minister of India face to face. Do you think they will allow you there? And there's a long queue, actually months before you will take appointment. And that too they will want a valid reason from you. If you say that you want to do some great good for the Indians, then they may allow you probably. Like Prabhupada met Lal Bahadur Shastri, you know, in those days. Because he had written Bhagavatam commentary, and Prabhupada wanted to gift him. And getting opportunity to meet is a very difficult thing. So, even if such human beings in such position, we want to meet, if they want to meet us, they can meet. If we want to meet them, we can't meet easily. Same with God also. If I want to capture God and see Him, I cannot do it with my limited ability. But when He wants to reveal Himself, He can easily reveal. He can come, just like I was telling you this Hathiram, I was telling. God wanted to reveal Himself to the devotee. So He revealed. And He may reveal like that, not only in the recent times. In the past, we can see six Goswamis, they saw Krishna face to face. And we could give innumerable examples of people who... You see, for that our heart and mind should become imbued with remembrance of Krishna. In one Vishnu temple, there was a Bhagavatam class going on. And a thief was passing by. Unfortunately, he couldn't get any booty for several days, anywhere. So when he was passing by the temple, he heard some sounds coming. When he heard the class, somebody was telling about, you know, necklace, you know, golden necklace, you know, silver ring and all that they were saying. And he became very attracted. So he thought, who is talking about gold and silver and diamond and everything? So he entered the temple. And then there was a class going on. Then he sat behind and very attentively heard the speaker. The speaker was speaking about Krishna in Vrindavan. He was telling how Mother Yashoda decorates Krishna with beautiful necklace and all the gold necklace bedecked with diamonds and everything. He was telling description of Krishna's body, how he looks like. So the thief, who never had any iota of devotion before, he heard it with very great attention, with absorption and attention. So he heard the whole description of Krishna's form, how he looks like. Then after the class was over, nobody had any questions. But when the speaker asked any questions, he was the only one having question. And then he asked, please tell me who is this person and where is he? I want to know more. He took his paper and pen and very carefully noted down address of Vrindavan. Vrindavan, Yamuna, Krishna, his mother and father, Yashoda, Ananda and everything, how he looks like. What is his color of his body? Any moles on his body, any lakshanas are there, I can recognize him. Everything. So speaker said, no, it's very easy for you. Krishna is bluish in complexion and he has a peacock feather. And he is very most beautiful. His eyes are like lotus petals. And generally he keeps roaming in the banks of Yamuna. Yamuna Vanachari. He'll be roaming. You will easily find him. You won't have difficulty. So this fellow, see, when he was going to Vrindavan, his mind and heart became imbued with remembrance of Krishna. See, Krishna is absolute. So anybody remembers Krishna in any way, you know, with the desire to rob from him or with the desire to serve him, whatever way, he is absolute. He makes one's heart purified. Like for example, if you bring odonil, odonil or some fragrant substance, immediately you can recognize the smell. Wherever you keep it, you hide it also, still you can recognize the smell. Is it not true? So Krishna is supremely pure. Wherever he enters into, that place he purifies. So because he entered the mind and heart of this thief, and Krishna started purifying his mind because he was chanting Krishna's name constantly. So as he went to Vrindavan, he was remembering Vrindavan. He was telling Vrindavan, Yamuna, Krishna, his name is also Gopal. He was remembering all that. Because his mind was so much absorbed, he saw Krishna face to face there. And when he saw, you know, Krishna was crawling with his, he was a small baby, crawling baby, still decorated with the gold and jewelry and everything. So the thief was very happy. Now I got the fellow whom I was looking for. So he caught hold of both the hand of Krishna and he just fed him some banana. And he said, you eat this banana and you do your job, I will do my job. I'll remove your ornaments. So he started removing the ornaments. And Krishna started catching his hand and saying, no, 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 please don't take away. Mother Yashoda will ask me, where is the ornament? And as he touched Krishna's body and looked at Krishna's beauty, he completely forgot for which he came. Stealing from him. So, at that time the king's eyes, the thief's eyes became imbued with devotion for Krishna. He could recognize him. Please don't think by seeing Krishna you will become a lover of Krishna. Many people have seen Krishna. Duryodhana saw Krishna. Karna saw Krishna. Shishupal saw Krishna. But how did they see? What was their sight? That is why she is saying, Maya Javanika Channam Ajna Adokshajam Avyayam Na Lakshase Mooda Drisha. These are all Moodhas. They could not see Krishna at all, she is saying. Like you see, when Shishupal saw Krishna in the court, already Shishupal was envious that Krishna married Rukmini, whom he wanted to marry. And also Shishupal, right from birth, he was envious of Krishna. In fact, at the time of his birth, he was braying like an ass. In fact, there was a prediction that he is going to be killed by someone and his mother knew Krishna will kill. So she begged Krishna, please don't kill my child. Kill my son. Krishna said, I will not kill him unless he speaks more than 100 blasphemies against me. So now in the Rajasu Yajna you will hear that pastime of how Shishupal was blaspheming Krishna. So many words he said about Krishna. You are a crow, you are this, you are that. So many things you will hear. He was so blasphemous. When he crossed 100, then Krishna sent the Sudarshan Chakra and cut off his head. You see that. So it's very amazing how somebody can find so much fault with the Supreme God. Supreme God is spotless, is pavitram, supremely pure. But seeing Krishna face to face, he was finding fault with him. You see? Duryodhana also, when Krishna, you all know that past time you studied in the spirit of Bhagavad Gita. So, how Duryodhana was materially calculative. He thought, what will I do with this one fellow Krishna? You know, he is going to come without any weapons. And he is a simple coward boy. You know, what kind of fight can he do? And he is not going to fight also anyway. What will I do with him? Whereas, you know, Arjuna saw Krishna with devotion. And Duryodhana was calculative. You know, he thought, if I have 10,000 people, it's better. He thought like that. Same way you find Duryodhana, you know, when Krishna appeared in that Duryodhana's court as a Shanti Dut, Duryodhana could not recognize who Krishna was. He was making a foolish plan to capture him with all the soldiers coming from all four sides, putting a cage around him, and he wanted to capture him. No? And his idea was, if we capture Krishna, Pandavas will be finished. That was his idea. Pandavas are getting strength only from this fellow. He is always, you know, politically encouraging them. So Duryodhana's idea was, Krishna is a political diplomat. That's all. Nothing more than that. He saw him like that. Some people thought in Krishna's times, even when Krishna was existing on the planet, some people thought he is a coward boy. Some people thought he is king of Dwaraka. Some people thought he is a political diplomat. Some people thought he has got a handsome body because he has done some punya in the previous life. They thought like that, he has got such a beautiful body. Actually, very few people prophesy they knew Krishna to be the supreme personality of Godhead. One of the devotees knew. That is why he says that the mudas cannot understand the Lord's original position. He says that. And Duryodhana was in that category only. So when Krishna appeared in the court, when he tried to arrest him, many people told Duryodhana, like Bhishma, warned him, never ever endeavor to arrest Lord Keshava. You know, you will be destroyed. You will die by trying to do that. Because he is the supreme personality of Godhead. You know, he is the source of all creation. He is a super soul in the heart of every living being. And in fact, the waves of the ocean will not move. The birds will not fly. The trees will not move and give air. And no living being can move from one place to another without the sanction of Krishna. He told many things. Don't think Krishna is an ordinary human being like you and me. But despite getting all this good advice, you know, Upadesha hi murkanam prakopayana shanti, it is said. A murka can never be instructed. Duryodhana was such a murka. So when Krishna came, at one point of time, the Shanti Dut talk was going on. Suddenly Duryodhana clapped hands like this. And immediately, you know, a cage was put from the top and soldiers came from all sides to arrest hundreds of people. So at that time Krishna immediately showed one huge earth to sky Visharupa Darshan, which is different from what Krishna showed to Arjuna. What Krishna showed to Arjuna was having millions of heads and all, whereas this form was like a Vishnu form, a very tall form, huge form. And in that form, particular form from earth to sky, he got to see all the demigods, even the Lokapalas like Kubera, like Yama, like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, they were all arrayed on different places. There was Bhima and Balaram on either side of his shoulders. And behind him was all the Pandavas, they were present. In fact, all the luminaries, they all became dim in front of Krishna's shining form, which was like a lightning, lightning personified. Krishna was like that. And when he saw this kind of form, the whole nature was revolving around this form. All the sun and moon and stars, everything was revolving around this form. He could see him to be the controller of everything. After seeing this form, when this form was shown, Dhritarashtra was crying. He said, "Oh Lord, you are showing a great form to all the people of the world, the whole universe. And you have made my eyes blind. Please give me the eyes to see you." At that time, Krishna bestowed eyes to Dhritarashtra also. Dhritarashtra got the eyes and he could see that form. And he saw the form and he offered obeisances. Bhishma offered obeisances. You know, Vidura and Dronacharya, they all offered obeisances to that form. And Duryodhana was the only one standing alone watching like this. The whole world was falling at Krishna's feet. And then after Krishna came back to his normal form, 200 form, you know, Duryodhana was telling Karna and other people, look at this fellow Krishna, he's showing some magic. You know, he was thinking that he was showing some magic. He didn't have faith that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just see. So, some people say, Prabhuji, can Krishna just come in front of me only once? If he comes, I will completely, Prabhuji, I will shave off my head and become Brahmachari only. I will dedicate my life, Prabhuji. I will give everything I have, Prabhuji. You know, I will surrender everything. And here is an example. Duryodhana was shown Krishna. And even after seeing, he didn't surrender at all. Even after seeing such a big form. So many people say that if God comes in front of me, I will surrender and all that. When God comes, they will say, "Thank you, God, for coming. Now, bye-bye. You can go back. You know, you enjoy in your world, I will enjoy in my world." They will say. And when you come to the point of full surrender, you don't have to even call God. God will come to you. He will come and see you. He will come and pick you up. He will take you, as He has always done to great devotees. So, the Shastra say, what is real seeing? Real seeing is not, you know, Prabhupada told his American boys and girls, disciples, when they came to India, you know, morning Prabhupada was giving class, very few people are there. Prabhupada said, where are the devotees? Prabhupada, some of them have gone to Radhakund, Shyamkund, some have gone for shopping in Vrindavan, you know, some have gone to Govardhan, you know, for, you know, going around Govardhan. And then evening Prabhupada gave class. Prabhupada said, you all have come to a holy place like Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Prabhupada said, you cannot see Krishna very easily. Don't think by entering into the bushes of Vrindavan, you will find Radha and Krishna there. Prabhupada said, you won't find Radha Krishna in bushes of Vrindavan. You will only find Radha and Krishna by dedicating your heart and life and soul, chanting the holy names and advancing in spiritual life. And Prabhupada said, do you know, in Vrindavan there are so many great Vaishnavas. Some of the Siddhas in Vrindavan are living for 300, 400 years also. They don't even die. For long years they live. You will see them growing long hair, long beard, you know, taking a dip in Yamuna, you know, practically wearing only a kaupin in their body there, you know, chanting the holy names 24 hours a day, meditating on one of the pastimes of Krishna, like Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, constantly hankering to attain Krishna. Prabhupada said, so Krishna, attaining Krishna is not a joke. Very easy. Simply you think you have come from America, you can go into the bushes and search, is there a Krishna playing on flute inside the tree or something, you know? But you can't find Krishna like that. Prabhupada said, so you have to pay the price and to see Krishna in Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, don't try to see Krishna, try to serve Krishna in such a way that you can get to see Him. Prabhupada said like that. Because there is a tendency, like some people, you know, they go to a temple, they hear some kirtan or something, and then they say, they tell their friends, hey, tears are coming in my eyes, you see? Hey, see my hair is standing, huh? Some people show like that. You've seen that? You know. And one boy came and asked me, Prabhuji, I get so much bhav, you know, when I hear the kirtan, my hair is standing on end, tears are coming in my eyes, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, what is the meaning of this, Prabhuji? You know, he was asking. Then I was keeping quiet for some time. And then he was giving suggestion. But Prabhuji, I heard in one class that when you become pure devotee, then tears come in the eyes, hair stand on end. So based on this clue, can you tell me, Prabhuji, you know, whatever I'm experiencing, what is the meaning of that? I told him, surely you are not a pure devotee. I told him. At this stage. Why? Because this is called Bhavukata. What is Bhavukata? It was Sahajyayism. Sometimes I ask this boy, okay, your hair is standing on it, tears are coming and all these things. In case you get fail marks in 4 papers in the college, do you get tears also? Prabhuji, how can I not cry, Prabhuji? You know, if I get a 80-80 or ear down, I will be crying constantly. I said, that is a proof that you are not a pure devotee. See, pure devotee means you experience emotion in relation to Krishna, but not in relation to the material things of this world. You know, you will be considering success and failure to be same in the material world. But with respect to Krishna, you get that bhav. Now you look at a woman, you get the same bhav. Again, emotions are coming. Those are certainly not spiritual emotion. Everyone knows you feel sexy thoughts, sexual desires. When you look at a woman, you feel attraction. And when you go to temple, you get spiritual thoughts. So it's like sinusoidal wave. Sometimes these spiritual thoughts, sometimes material thoughts. So Prabhupada said, this is fast to cry, fast to dry. He said. What he said? Fast to cry, fast to dry. So we may feel weak spiritual emotions sometimes, but we can know why it happens. Sometimes a pure devotee is singing the holy names very wonderfully. And you go to the temple, when the waves of that holy name come and attack you, the tears come in our eyes, which is called as Rati Abbas. Rati Abbas means, because a pure soul is singing, we also get affected. Like Akbar and Tansen, when they went to meet Mirabai. Mirabai was singing Krishna's names. And Akbar started shedding tears. And on the way back, Akbar told Tansen, hey, Tansen, you sing every day, but I don't feel tears at all. But today, why did I get tears? Johnson said, "My dear Lord, she sings for Lord's pleasure, I sing for your pleasure. How will you get yours?" He said. So because of her devotion, great devotion, he also felt tears. But actually it's not that, you know, those are superficial. That's called sahajya behavior. So yetis cannot see Krishna. Sahajyas cannot see Krishna. Yetis like Duryodhana or Asuras. Even though they may see Krishna, they are not seeing Krishna at all. Because they are seeing with the desire to exploit Krishna. Those who see Krishna with the desire to exploit Krishna cannot see Krishna actually. Or those who are sahajyayik, they cannot see Krishna. Or those who try to use their imperfect senses to see Krishna, they are like a frog in the well. They cannot see Krishna also. Like a frog, you all know this frog was living inside a well. Prabhupada tells this story. He says, one day a frog arrived from Atlantic. Somehow he jumped out of Atlantic, he came, and then he came on the top of the well, and then he saw the well, and he saw another frog there, so he jumped into the well. Now these two frogs had a dialogue. Actually, Prabhupada tells two, three different stories about frog. This is one story. In this story, he says, then this frog asked, "Hey, you are a new visitor to my well. Who are you?" He said, "I am arriving from Atlantic," he said. "Atlantic? Is it also another well like this?" He asked him. He said, "What are you talking? This is such a small well. Atlantic is so vast," he said. "How vast? Tell me, maybe it may be this much more bigger than my well, little more bigger." He said, "You don't understand. Okay, is it double size this?" He was asking. He said, "You don't know what a ocean is. Don't talk," he said. That's the meaning of a frog in the well. A frog in the well cannot think of anything beyond the well. He thinks everything has to be in, you know, measured in terms of this well only. But Atlantic is so vast. So actually, this fellow has to take... then this frog said, "Okay, you come with me, I'll take you there and I'll prove to you that Atlantic is millions of times the size of your well." Then this well said, "Oh, such a thing cannot exist," he said. Then he asked, "How can you say such a thing doesn't exist?" "Oh, it must be your imagination," he said. "But how do you say it's an imagination?" "Because such a thing cannot exist, because I have not seen..." He said, "Yes, this is a proof of the atheist for denying God. What he says? Hey, why do you say God doesn't exist? Because I have not seen." You heard this story of this barber. So once a barber was cutting a hair of one man, and the man went on talking. They both were chatting and talking, and the hair cutting was going on. So, and the barber suddenly made a statement, "You know, sir, I don't believe in God," he said. The man asked, "Why do you not believe in God?" And the man said, the barber said, "Because you see, there are so many sufferings in this world. That's why I don't believe in God. If God was there, he should have sorted out all the sufferings." And the man said, but just because sufferings are there, can you say there is no God?" And the barber was arguing, "There is no God." Then the man thought, no, better not argue with him. He kept silent. And then suddenly this man went out of the shop in between. The barber was wondering, "Hey, this fellow didn't pay the money and he didn't complete his hair cutting. He went out." And then the man loudly shouted, "There is no barber in this world," he shouted. And the barber said, "I am right behind you. You are saying there is no barber?" And the barber asked, "How do you say barber is not there? I am here," he said. And the man said, "Look at the people. That fellow is having such a long beard. This fellow is having such a long hair. You know, if only there was a barber, how can they have such long hair? How can he have such long beard?" You know, he asked. The barber said, "Why are you so foolish? If they came to me, I would have shaved them. I would have clean shaved them. But they never came to me." Then the man said, "Similarly, people are not going to God to understand God. They are denying God." Then of course he came inside the shop and he shaved up balance portion also. But we had to shave up. So this story said why Gaurang Prabhu was telling once. Gaurang Prabhu was serving Prasad in Bombay personally. He said most people, they don't look at the server at all. Who is serving? Their whole attention is on the plate only. Okay. Rice, take a rice aagaya. Dal, dal aagaya. Sabji, sabji aagaya. Chapati, chapati aagaya. Abhi now you don't give sweet, you tell him, go ahead. As soon as sweet is not there, talk, immediately look at the... Where is sweet now? And then Gaurang Prabhu told him, sweet will be served separately there, you have to take that. Then he went. He said, all the guys, they look at him only in the last they don't find the sweet. So he said, similarly, people only search for God when they find that God is giving some suffering or not giving them what they want. That time only they look. Till then they don't search for God at all. That's the nature of the material world. You will see that. So, with imperfect senses trying to see God, no one will be able to see Him. Just not possible. So it's like a frog in the well. Like material world, Einstein once asked a question, can anybody say where does this ether or space end? No scientist could answer. So he was telling, send a torch, high intensity torch light to find out the covering of the universe. What is the diameter of this world? Is there a closure? And then Einstein asked another question. If the universe is closed, it's like a closed continuum, inside which all the planets are existing, what is that made up of? Is that made up of something like Earth, like this, solid? Or if that is made up of, how thick it is? Or even if you know the thickness of the shell of the Brahmanda, then outside Brahmanda, the space is there, where does that end? That can be going on, no? All of you think for a moment, can you comprehend with your head? So we can't even comprehend where this material world, this material earth where we are living, where does it end? We can't even think of. It is beyond human brain. That is why, if material world, which is material thing, is incomprehensible, then how can one comprehend spiritual world? So, then one may ask, Prabhuji, if that is so incomprehensible, then why do we bother about God and all these things? Let us just enjoy life ourselves. Forget about God. Can anybody say, why do we bother about God so much? Why do we talk about Him, research on Him, try to understand Him, surrender to Him? What is the need of all these things? I would like to hear from some of these third semester students. Any of you? You understood my question? My question is clear? Yeah, please tell me. Because you are all coming for the classes, I am sure you would have thought about it. Why do you have to think about God, search about God, and all is so complicated, so difficult to see? You are third semester? Third semester? The question is only for third semester students. Who are all third semester? Raise your hands. Yeah, the question is only for them. Your friends are going to catch you. They will ask you, hey, God is so difficult to understand. Why are you unnecessarily wasting time spending? So many other things are there in this world to enjoy. Just enjoy. They will tell you, no? And your mouth will be shut just like your mouth is shut now. You will not be able to answer unless you know the answer. He is saying we are naturally attracted towards them. Oh, this is a very difficult to accept answer. How many people are naturally attracted to God in this world? They are naturally attracted to a beautiful woman. If you tell a boy, I am going to this class to know how to have loving affairs with a woman, then they will agree with you. Because everyone is naturally attracted to women in this world. In fact, there are subjects where they teach how to become attractive to a woman. Do you know that? What type of hairstyle you should have, what type of talk you should talk. Because to talk to women, if you are a sweet talker, you can attract women very easily. So there are some courses where they teach you how to bring many women into your circle. That boys will agree with you. Yes, we will also come with you. They'll come. But if you say, I'm naturally attracted to God, I don't know how many boys will agree with you. Anybody else? Yeah. He's saying, he's the real father, you'll say. They will say, are already ek baap to hai already. Aur ek dusre baap ki kya zarurat hai. What is the need of one more father? They will ask. You know? What is the need of one more father? Who is a father who can't be seen and all? He is far away. It is difficult to comprehend and difficult to achieve and all. This one father already you have. Why do you worry? You cannot enjoy material objects forever. Okay. You need something else to enjoy. Eternally. Okay, I'll come back to this answer. Somebody else had a hand up also. Why do you want to know who has created it? What inspires you to know answer to this question? Who created all the sun, moon, stars and all these planets? Now my question is, they will ask you, okay, somebody, God created all these things. Okay, chalo, life can go on. But why do you have to, you know, come to your class weekly once and Mangala Arati, dance, chant and try to know more about him, study Bhagavatam and all these things? What is the need of, you know, spending so much time on researching on God and all that? Okay, we are saying there is sun, moon, stars. Some fellow has created all these things and put there so we all can enjoy nicely. So we enjoy and go on. Many boys say like that, no? Why do you have to know him? And we are also telling you it's very difficult to see and all that. Just now we said, if you are a sahaja, you cannot see him. If you are an atheist, you cannot see him. Now we are saying if you have imperfect senses and you try to study God, you know, you can't take a magnifying glass or a telescope, try to find God. You know, where is God? You know, you can't check. It's not possible. With our instruments, sophisticated instruments, you can't see him. See Krishna. Then why are we trying to do so much research? Okay, anybody else? Somebody's hand was up. Yeah, you have your hand was up. Your answer is over already, huh? Your answer was... Yeah. God is? He's saying God is providing us everything through our mother and father and everything, okay? So, you feel some duty towards him? Oh, we should not be ungrateful to him because we are taking everything from him. So we have to say thanks to him. Okay, sometimes friends say, okay, hum log nastik nahi hai, hum bhi mandir mein jaate hain kabhi. We are also saying, you know, go to temple and say, God, bye-bye, we are also here. You know, so we go to the temple, sometimes ring a bell and come. You know, we are not saying God did not give. Okay, God gave all these things. All these things he has created and we are taking from him. So we also agree with that. And some boys, even in the morning also, they have a small agarbatti or something, they do this. And many boys in India do that. In business and all, you will see shops, people in the morning, yeah, they also do that. We are not recognizing God. Yeah, Vaibhav? Vaibhav is saying... Our life is short, very soon our body irreversibly goes from youth to old age to disease to death. So, and while living also from womb to tomb, there is suffering. Every moment there is tension. See, after death this body becomes ash or stool or earth. But even before death, this body gives so much suffering. For every part of the body you can name a disease. Like that. So the question comes in our mind, why am I suffering? Now who can answer this question on why am I suffering? For example, you are a scientist, you have put a satellite in orbit and now you are doing satellite communication because you have put a satellite. You have a control room. So you have the control over the satellite because you only have put it. Correct? Like, you know, you have to go at a certain speed, I think 11 kilometers per second or something, you know, to go out of the orbit, you know, of the earth, out of the gravitational pull. If you have to go to some... So you have designed all that very nicely. And then you have gone there and you put a satellite there, which is revolving in an orbit. And then if you have to send a rocket, you are sending to another planet, you have to send it a certain speed. It goes out of the earthly orbit and goes to another planet. All that you are designing. Same way, if all these planets, like one of the boys said, we have this sun, moon, stars, planets are put. So some person has put these things here. In this world. Somebody says, did you put it, any of you? Did you put any other planets out there? Did I put? We didn't put. Somebody has put there, no? So that person is called God. Prabhupada says in the first canto. So he has put it there. And whatever is happening in those planets, that fellow must be aware of. And we are also in one of the planets which he has put. What is the planet called? Earth. And we are here. And we are undergoing all these pains and sufferings. So we are trying to ask the owner of this vehicle, Earth, one has put this planet here. Oh God, why did you create this world, all these planets? You know, you must be having some purpose. Like scientists are putting a satellite in orbit. Is there a purpose or not? What do you think? What is the purpose of putting satellite? Tell me. Communication, yeah. You know, from one mobile to another mobile, how the communication goes? Through satellite, right? So, do you put anything in the orbit without a purpose? You throw something in the sky without any purpose? Huh? Some purpose must be there. So, if God has created all these worlds and universe, everything, and He has put us also here, oh God, why did you create this world? Why did you put me here? Why are you giving me suffering? See, suffering cannot be given to somebody without the person having committed some mistake. Correct? Will your teacher call you and bite you, take a stick and beat you without having done anything wrong? Huh? Will a teacher beat you? How many of you got beating in your school? Oh, really? You all are. Still it's going on, I think, in India. Huh? So teacher beats you. Will any teacher beat you without a reason? Huh? You see, only a mad teacher or a crazy teacher may beat, huh? For no reason. But if she is a wise teacher, God is supposed to be the wisest person. He cannot be punishing a living being for no good reason. And how many of you agree that we are suffering in this world? You are confident? Yeah. Any of you has a doubt we are suffering or not? How many of you have doubt we are suffering or not? You are not very sure. Prabhupada, I don't think there is much suffering here. I am quite happy. Yeah? Anybody thinks like that? In fact, to think like that is not just suffering, it is suffering power infinity. Yeah? To think like that. Why? That is called avidya. Narakastopi dekhampai napu mamsaktumichati. He says, in Naraka also one tries to enjoy, like a pig enjoying in the ditch eating stool. Huh? And he thinks it's wonderful. Huh? So, if somebody can understand I am suffering, and somebody is inflicting suffering on me, then the first question arises, why that person is inflicting suffering on me? And who can answer the question? God can answer. Because He has created this world. And by asking this question to God, He will teach us through the scriptures, through the devotees, and we learn what is the right. Okay, I am walking on the wrong path, that is why I am getting the suffering. You see, this body is so created that when you do a wrong thing, it gives a signal. For example, you lie down after the examination for more than 12 hours. Any of you tried sleeping more than 12 hours after the exam? What do you feel? You feel pain in the hip. Body is telling you, hey, get up, enough now. Don't waste your time. Human body is not giving for sleeping like a polar bear. So body gives a signal. So any pain has a meaning. No pain is there without a meaning. If there is fever in the body, is there a meaning or no meaning? What is the meaning? Yeah, some disorder. You have eaten too much. And you go to the doctor, Ayurvedic doctor will ask you, what did you eat yesterday? Sir, my stomach is paining. Okay, it's paining, but what did you eat? Then you think, oh, yesterday at 12 o'clock I ate a big pizza. And that is sitting inside. It's causing trouble. Then he'll give you something to throw it out. So, every pain has a meaning. Then we ask God, oh God, please tell me, why did you create this world? Why am I suffering pain? You know, please tell me what is right path, what is wrong path. And I will promise you that I will walk on the right path. And also, if I do the right thing, if I harmonize myself with you and nature, I will be happy, others will be happy. If I try to rebel against you and go on the wrong path, I will suffer, my parents will suffer, everyone will suffer. Is it not true? So that is the meaning. That's why we want to know about God. That's the main reason. And if somebody doesn't ask this question now, after hundreds and thousands of lives, they will ask this question. You have to ask this question sometime. Otherwise, we cannot quit this world. We are stuck in this world now. So, wise people should ask this question. But with imperfect senses, we cannot see God. We cannot know Him. Like a frog in the well, I said. Another category of people who cannot see God are the impersonless. Who are the impersonless? They say, everything is one. All is one. One is all. You know, this is a slogan. Many places, you know. You just sit and meditate. Close your eyes. And as you meditate, gradually you go higher and higher and higher. At one stage you realize, I am God. They say like that. Yeah? Many people. That's why Prabhupada is writing in this purport, God never becomes God by meditation. God is always God. In the lap of Mother Yashoda, was Krishna God or not? What do you think? Why He is called as God in the lap of Mother Yashoda? Any of you, third semester students? Based on the purport you heard now? He killed Putana. Correct? Yeah? Because, you know, have you ever seen a small baby killing such a big Rakshasi only with the two lips? By just sucking milk along with the poison also. Killing somebody so huge. Can you imagine? That's the meaning of God. So Krishna was God in the lap of Yashoda. And when he is playing with covered boys, one day one calf came, which appeared like a calf. It was actually a Vatsasura. But none of the covered boys could understand, but Krishna could understand, hey, here is a calf which looks like a calf. It's actually Asura. So he killed that calf also. Similarly, you find another day one demon, Vyomasura, came as a covered boy. One covered boy was absent that day. He was at home. So this Vyomasura disguised himself as that type of covered boy. And he appeared, and Krishna immediately recognized him. Taking his hand, killed him. So you find God can recognize very easily. So coming to the point of this impersonalist, calling everything as one, all is one, one is all. Prabhupada says, only in darkness everything is one. Only in ignorance everything is one. See, Prabhupada made very profound statements. For example, if all the curtains are closed, it's a pitch dark night, in this room, if somebody asks me, Prabhuji, who are all there in the room? I will say, no one. All is one. One is all. Because I don't say everything is one. I will say, isn't it? You switch on the light, is everything one? So many fellows are sitting with special face cuts. Everyone is unique, having unique face cuts. And everyone has a special psychophysical nature. Somebody is tall, somebody is short, somebody is fair, somebody is black, somebody has a big nose, somebody has a big teeth. Or somebody has a round face, somebody has an oval face. You see? Somebody has more hair, less hair. All... No two people are similar. Everyone is unique in this world, in God's creation. So, when we talk of one, like we say, all of us are Indians and we are one. When you say, what is the meaning of that? We are one in spirit. Not that you take all the Indians, put them into a big room like this and smash them and make like one big chapati kata, make everyone together. Is it all Indians are one? It's not like that. All Indians are one means one in spirit. Every Indian has his identity, but although there is, like we say, unity in diversity. There is diversity also, but there is unity also. Like that, all the Jivas and God, like Jesus says, I and Father are one. He says in Bible, one statement he makes like that. So, Jayadeva Swami is speaking in Pune about this. He said, I means I and Father means two, and I and Father are one. So, what is the meaning of that? We are one in spirit. And then he was telling, the son's wife is not father's wife, he said. The son's wife is father's daughter-in-law, is it not? And the father's wife is not son's wife. The father's wife is the son's mother. Correct, no? So they have their identity. But still Jesus says, I and Father are one in spirit. Like sometimes people say, this son is almost like the father for everyone in the family. That is in spirit. He doesn't actually become a father. In a family, the eldest son becomes like a father, correct? But he fulfills the role of the father. He doesn't become actual father. So, but the impersonalist philosophy of this, I am you, you are, like in Japan, in electronic advertisements and all, they say, they put a, like electronic, something you want to sell, some electronic goods, they put like this, I am you, you are me, we are you, you are us. And because we are one, we can do no harm to the other, In this way, you will never cheat us, we will never cheat you, so buy this product. Like that, this kind of advertisement they put in Japan nowadays. So, this kind of I am you are me, bogus philosophy, this is called Mayavada or impersonalism. They can never understand God. They can never see Krishna. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you all repeat this verse. Avyaktam yaktimapannam manyante mama buddhayah parambhava majananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. I think it is 7.24. Krishna is saying here, very simple. If you know Hindi also, it's good enough. Avyaktam means what? Impersonal. Vyaktim means person. Apannam means to accept. Manyante, mante hai. Maam, about me. Abuddhaya means what? Abuddhaya means what? Unintelligent people. Jinke paas buddhi nahi hai. जिनके पास बुद्धि नहीं है वो मानते हैं कि मैं पहले निराकार था बाद में मैं साकार बना. इधर इस अव्यक्तम व्यक्तिम आपन्नम मन्यन्ते माम अबुद्धय है इस बट दे डू नॉट नो दैट आई हैव अ हायर नेचर स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड वेयर आई एटर्नली एग्जिस्ट ऑलवेज. सो फूलिश पीपल थिंक आई वॉज इम्पर्सनल बिफोर एंड नाउ आई हैव बिकम अ पर्सन. दे डू नॉट नो दैट आई एम ऑलवेज अ पर्सन. कृष्णा सिंह just like there is a 20 story building, in the 20th story somebody is living and they are coming down in the lift and they come down and go to the shop, buy some milk packet and they go back to 20th story where they live. Similarly, the Lord is in the Vaikuntha, he comes into this world, performs his leela and he goes back there, and he always lives there. Even now Krishna is there in spiritual world in his personal form. Lord Ram is there, Lord Vishnu is there. Their forms are never destroyed. That form is eternal, imperishable, ever existing form. In fact, that is why we have to read Shastra and understand how Krishna appears again and again. You will find, like, you know, once Markandeya Rishi came amidst Pandavas when they were in the forest. You see, one day in the Kamya Kavana, Pandavas were sitting and they were telling Krishna, my dear Lord, please tell us some histories of great kings. Because whenever you speak, we see that it is replete with moral and spiritual instructions. So please tell us something. And then Krishna started speaking something. In the meantime, Narada came. Then everyone stood up and offered obeisances. Krishna also offered obeisances. Then Narada came. And they all turned to Narada. And Krishna told Narada, oh great sage, you please tell everyone, share some Puranic histories with all of us. Then Narada started speaking. And when they were speaking, suddenly Markandeya Rishi appeared there. And Markandeya Rishi came with a deer skin, a black, deer skin and long hair, and Markandeya Rishi is very, very senior. He is existing across millenniums actually. Being most senior, even Narada refused to continue to speak. And Narada also stood up and offered obeisances, and Narada requested, you please tell us something. Then Markandeya sat and he started speaking. Of course, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked some questions to him. My dear, actually he saw that Draupadi is sitting there. Just to please Draupadi, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked a question. You know, why do pious people suffer in this world, while the sinful people prosper? He asked this question. And he beautifully answered. He said, some people enjoy now and suffer later. Some people suffer now, they will enjoy later. And some people suffer now and suffer later. And some people enjoy now and enjoy later. And he explained all the four categories, each of them. I am not going to talk about that. It's an elaborate talk. And then Markandeya Rishi said, but I want to tell all of you something very important for my personal life. And then he said, you know, at one time I had a desire in my heart to see the power of Lord's illusory energy, Maya Shakti. So I prayed to Lord, please reveal your Maya Shakti to me, how powerful it is. And the Lord smiled. And then he said, suddenly one day I was sitting by the bank of Pushpabhadra River in my hermitage, just outside my hermitage, in a evening time, twilight time, very peacefully, when the wind was blowing, it was such a serene atmosphere, the river was flowing. Suddenly, to my amazement, I saw from a distance a huge ocean, like a tsunami, swelling, sky high, coming towards me. Then I turned the other side, from there also I saw, from the front also, from back also. And they all came and engulfed completely my whole hermitage and ashram and river, everything. And it started swelling to sky high. It started swelling more and more, and I started swimming and trying to come to the top surface. And I looked around. Everything in this world was dismantled and demolished and falling into the ocean. Ocean devoured everything. And then I understood it is pralaya. Pralaya has come suddenly. And this... when the ocean waves are battering, huge waves would come and batter my body, and I would get bruises on my body, and I would be floating hither and thither. Sometimes huge sharks would come with open mouth as if to devour me. They would come very close to my face and then they would go away, and they would not swallow me. So in this way I became very extremely frightened and miserable and painful in the body. In this way, when I was battered by the waves, I lost all my energy, all my strength, and I was praying for some shelter. At last, at a distance, I saw a banyan tree in a dweep, in a island. He saw in that banyan tree there was a leaf, big leaf. As I approached that place closer and closer and closer, in that Vatapatra, I found a blue baby, a beautiful bluish baby. As I approached it closer and closer and closer, I came very close to the baby. The baby was very beautiful. He said it had such a beautiful face with eyes like lotus petals and black jet, curly locks of blackish hair, and with all beautiful ornaments in his body. And he was living in this Vatapatra very peacefully, as if nothing has happened. All around such a big pralaya is going on, and this baby was sleeping very peacefully. And not sleeping, with eyes wide awake, he took his right thumb of the right foot and he was trying to chew the thumb of his foot, putting in the mouth. And when I saw this baby, it looked so beautiful, charming. I don't know how, but all my miseries were finished. Although I had bruises in my body, I didn't feel any pain. Simply looking at this baby, so charming and effulgent. So he said, I was asking this baby, "Hey, who are you? You are lying alone here, in this devastation waters. How did you arrive here? Please tell me, who are you?" And the child started speaking in an adult's tone. Started speaking, "Oh, Markandeya. Oh, my dear child, Markandeya." Started speaking like that. Child was calling him a child. So he said, "I am the one who existed before the creation of this universe. And I am the one who will exist after the devastation of the universe. In fact, I am the one who always nourishes and maintains everything, even when the universe is going on. Activities are going on in the universe. And I always exist. I am the cause of all causes. I am the supreme one amongst all that be. There is no one equal to me, no one superior to me. And people call me by different names. Some people call me as Hari. Some people call me Vishnu. This way they call me by different names." And he said, "You are my very great devotee. I am very pleased with you. So I will offer you two boons," he said. Actually, one more thing I forgot to tell you. When he saw this, asked these questions to the child, that time the child smiled and as he inhaled, immediately Markandeya Rishi went into his nose and went into his belly. And inside the belly, he saw the same things. Huge oceans, devastating waters, everything crumbled into pieces and everything floating, big, big waves and sharks and everything he saw. He was wondering, I have come into the stomach of the child, inside also same thing. Then after some time, the child exhaled, he came out again. So he was surprised, seeing this. So Lord has the whole Brahmanda inside his belly. You know that, right? He showed his belly. So the Lord spoke like this, and then he gave him two boons. One boon he gave him: "You will always remain young and youthful as long as you live. And you will live for a very, very long period of time. And you have Ichamrityu, you will die at your own will." And he also said, "Your encounter with me now, it will always remain fresh in your memory. You will never forget it. You will have an ever unfading memory." How wonderful it will be if all students, our students can get that unfading memory. Once you study a subject, you will never forget it. You can remember forever. For millenniums, you can remember. So, Lord gave him these boons and everything disappeared immediately. And then he found himself sitting in the bank of Pushpavadara River in the bank outside his hermitage. He saw himself there. Markandeya Rishi. So then Markandeya Rishi revealed to the Pandavas. He told this whole pastime and told them, "Lord gave me a darshan of how powerful this material world is, Maya is, Maya Shakti. And then he also taught me how the shelter for one person in this world who is suffering in Maya is Lord's lotus feet. And that person who was lying in the Vatapatra, who was that?" He said, that there's a beautiful verse. Padaravinde kararavindam. Everybody. Kararavinde vinivesayantam. Vatasya patrasya puteshayanam. Balam mukundam manasasmarami. Very beautiful verse. Is saying Pada Aravinde means Lord's feet was also like lotus. Pada Aravinde. Lord's lotus feet. And he took it and put it in his mouth, which was also Padar Kararavindam, his hand is also like lotus. So with one lotus he picked up another lotus. And he put it in his mouth. And Mukharavinde, the muk also is like a lotus only. Viniveshayantam. And he started chewing. And what was the Lord trying to do? He was trying to taste his own dust of his feet to see why my devotees are mad for my lotus feet. Many devotees are always wanting to take shelter of my feet. Why? And he wanted to check what is there in my feet. So he was tasting, he says. And then he says, Bala Mukunda Manasasmaram. Let me remember that Lord Mukunda, who is called as a Bala Mukunda, baby Krishna. Then he told that was baby Krishna. And then he told the Pandavas, this person who is amidst all of you, who is sitting with all of you like your cousin, brother, he is not your cousin. Understand, he is that Hari whom I am talking about. He is the source of all creation. All the universes are emanated from him. And he is the creator, he is the destroyer, he is the maintainer of everything. When Yudhishthira Maharaj and Pandavas heard it, immediately they all stood up and Markandeya Rishi said, all of you offer obeisances to Krishna. And then they all offered obeisances immediately. So, of course, Krishna felt very shy because he doesn't like to be treated like this amongst his devotees. They all have been treating Krishna as a brother, cousin brother, like that. So anyway, this is actually the method by which devotees see Krishna face to face. How? When it is revealed by a great devotee like Markandeya or like Narada. By hearing from devotees, chanting the holy names, following the principles, leading a Vaishnava life purely, only then one can see Krishna. Otherwise here she is saying, Maya Javanika Channam Ajna Dokshajam Avyayam. Krishna is other Akshaja. He cannot be seen by mundane senses. He has to be seen by spiritual senses, she says. And she says that Nato Nati Duroyata. Sometimes in a drama, say Tata or Birla, sometimes there's a drama in their house. All relatives have come to the house. Say 30-40 people have come. And in that drama, sometimes Tata may take the role of a beggar. Is it not? Can't he take if he wants? He can take the role of a beggar and he is having a tattered clothes. He is having a bhiksha patra. And he is having so much hair and everything. Nobody can recognize who this fellow is. And all the relatives are watching and he may completely, evoke the compassion in their hearts by that role. And after the drama is over, he has made everyone cry now. And then he comes and asks people, do you know which role I acted? And nobody can recognize. And he says, I was that beggar in that drama. So a millionaire can become a beggar in a drama if he wants, is it not? And why is he playing that role? Is he paid any money for that role? Is he obliged to play that role? Anybody can say why he played that role? Anybody? Yeah? Why he played that role? Only third semester. It's class for them. Anybody? Why should a millionaire man play such a role of a beggar? Or sometimes he says, Tata, he goes to the garden and he's watering the plants. Is he paid salary for that? Or is he obliged to do that every day? If he doesn't do it one day, somebody is going to punish him. Why does he do that? He feels happy by doing that. So that is called Leela. For Leela's sake, he may do. You all know Leela? Leela means voluntary acceptance of a role for enjoyment. So, Krishna in this world, with one last verse we'll conclude. Please you all repeat after me. Kritavan kila karmani saharamena keshava atimartyani bhagavan gudah kapatamanushaha. This verse it is said, Rama means Balram. Krishna and Balram became babies in Vrindavan. And sometimes in the Vrindavan dust, they would be catching the tail of a calf. And the calf would run out of fear. And they would be dragged in the dust of Vrindavan. And the dust would be mixed with gobar and everything. So because of that, the body would become smeared by gobar and dust and all that. So seeing that, Rohini and Yashoda would have a big laugh. But if any common man would see, they can't believe God could behave like this. They may get bewildered. That's why he says, Saharamena Keshava, Ati Martyani Bhagavan. He is not a Martya Manushya, but Ati Martyani. He is beyond ordinary human beings. గూఢ కపట మానుష. సో హీ ఈజ్ లైక్ ఎ కపట మానుష. వై హీ ఈజ్ హైడింగ్ హిస్ ట్రూ ఐడెంటిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ అండ్ బిహేవింగ్ లైక్ అ బేబీ అండ్ వృందావన్ లైక్ దట్ ఈస్ సెయింగ్. సో ఇన్ ఫ్యూచర్ వర్సెస్ కుంతి విల్ రివీల్ మోర్ అబౌట్ దిస్ హౌ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ కృష్ణ అండ్ సీ కృష్ణ విత్ ప్రాపర్ ఐస్. విల్ సీ దట్ లేటర్. శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి. I heard some of your college at 9 o'clock, huh? So I will take just 5 more minutes for one.